Blog Talk Radio.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. Greetings, and welcome to the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach broadcast. This broadcast is designed to reach out to UFCCM laity and fulfill the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training goal, which is in keeping with Ephesians 4:11-13, to prepare the laity for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually. We're so happy to have you tuned in with us today for another opportunity to learn and grow from God's Word. Father God, we thank you for being here today. We thank you for giving us life and another opportunity through the means of technology to come together in unity to learn more of your Word and its application to our daily lives. Bless us each, Lord. Bless each hearer. Help us all to walk away with enlightenment and greater encouragement from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, the world in which we live today is full of trouble of all types. You've heard the news and you've read the papers, so I don't need to recount everything that is going on around us. But the world situation has caused many people to be fearful, including sometimes those of us in the body of Christ. People today are afraid. They're afraid of the future. They're afraid of what's going to happen in the world. They're afraid of each other. They're afraid of social pressures, afraid of failing in work or school, afraid of being unemployed, afraid that they won't have enough money for their families. They worry about so many things. So our lesson for today is part one of a two-part series entitled Faith, the Antidote to the Spirit of Fear. Now, the word antidote comes from the Greek word antididinai, which means given against. And we know that an antidote is that which counteracts, which is given against something to destroy the effect of something. And I say to you today that the spirit of fear is poison to our spiritual growth and to our faith. And we, the UFCCM laity, do not have to succumb to the spirit of fear, but we want to be encouraged to walk in our faith as never before. In this series, we want to examine fear, the types of fear, how to deal with the spirit of fear, and how to move in a greater way towards faith, which is the antidote of fear. God's word has much to say about fear and about faith, and there are a number of scriptures which we will examine, and they will be provided as we discuss the lesson. We won't have time to delve into each of them as we would in a normal workshop, but I'm hoping that from our discussion today, you may be encouraged to read these scriptures and be encouraged by them. Jesus said that in the last days, in Luke 21:26, he said that in the last days, men's hearts would be failing them for fear. And Jesus, everything he said is coming to pass or has come to pass. And we see that in our world today, doctors are even telling us that there's more heart failure today than ever before in the world's history because there is more fear. Fear is today's number one killer. Believe it or not, fear causes more sickness and more mental illness and more premature death than anything else on earth. Doctors have even discovered that the heart muscle is actually destroyed when people are subjected to great fear. A renowned doctor writing in the General Practitioner's newsletter says that the hormone adrenaline literally destroys heart muscles when people are subjected to intense stress and fear. And medical circles also tell us that worry increases chances of infectious diseases in that it weakens the body's ability to fight off germs. Heart trouble, high blood pressure, arthritis, stomach ulcers are all basically rooted and caused by worry, tension, stress, and fear. But we know, we in the body of Christ know that our faith is the antidote to fear. Let's take a moment and examine fear. On one hand, we understand that fear is an ever-present emotion with us. There are real fears and there are imagined fears. Is it realistic to think we can live without fear? I don't think so. Let's look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I trust in you. In God, I boast in his promise. In God, I trust. I am not afraid. What can mere men do to me? Note that in this verse, the psalmist doesn't say, if I am afraid, because our understanding of the word if is that it means there might be a possibility of something happening. It might happen. But the psalmist says, when I am afraid. And we know that the word when denotes a definite certainty, something that we're certain of. So the psalmist recognizes that we will experience fear, but when we do, we will trust in God, and that trust will cancel out our fear. This recognizes that fear is a normal human emotion designed by God to alert us to danger so that we will take action against it. If we look at 2 Timothy 1 and 7, the apostle wrote, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So how do we reconcile this? Is this contradictory to what the psalmist says? No, not at all. For there is a difference between the emotion of fear and the spirit of fear. As humans, we all have emotions. Our emotions are closer to us than our skin and the air we breathe. They're ever present, current within us. Because our emotions define the inner world and give us continual commentary on the outer world. Our emotions are feelings that we have that are related to our life in this world. As an ever-present emotion, which we all possess, fear is a feeling related to our lives in this world. So there are things in this world that may cause us, even as Christians, to experience the emotion of fear. For example, I personally am fearful of snakes and mice. And when I see them, I have this adrenaline rush of fear. There are times when we may be fearful of things like physical attack, or if someone pointed a gun at one of us, we would feel fear. But this emotion of fear is that which alerts us to danger so that we can take action against this. If I see a mouse, I'm going to take action. I'm going to scream and run. And God designed us this way with the emotion of fear that works to protect us and allow us to avert or escape from harm or danger. However, Please note that this emotion of fear is transcended by the fact that we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Because the spirit of fear comes not from God, but it comes directly from Satan. It is harmful. It is designed to paralyze us as believers and to destroy our destiny and our spiritual growth. It is the spirit of timidity and cowardice and weakness. But the spirit which God gives us is the opposite. It is the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, which is the accompaniment of the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, what do we define fear? According to the American Heritage Dictionary, fear is, number one, extreme reverence or awe as toward a supreme power. Two, fear is a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence or imminence of danger. So, as the above definition suggests, there are two different kinds of fear. One kind of fear is necessary, extreme reverence or awe as toward a supreme power, in which case we know that this reverence or awe is towards God. This is necessary, as stressed in the book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord has many blessings and benefits. Proverbs 1 and 7 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8 and 13, the fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. Proverbs 10 and 27, the fear of the Lord will prolong life. Proverbs 14, 26 and 27, the fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is the fountain of life. Proverbs 16 and 6, the fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from evil. Proverbs 19 and 23, the fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. Proverbs 22 and 4, the fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. So there are many blessings and benefits which accrue to us based on our fear of the Lord, our reverence and awe of the Lord. You know, the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when we fear God, we fear nothing else. But when we do not fear God, we fear everything else. The second type of fear is the wrong type of fear, the spirit of fear. That definition, a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence or imminence of danger, the wrong kind of fear, the spirit of fear. Let's kind of examine components. Fear which is groundless is the wrong kind of fear. And there are many kinds of social phobias that, as a matter of fact, science has even come up with names. And I'd love to share some of these names with you, just a few. The fear, the thing that people, human beings, fear most is called topophobia, fear of speaking before a group. Acrophobia, the fear of heights, is the second greatest fear of human beings. Entomophobia, fear of insects and bugs, is the third greatest fear. Atypophobia, financial problems, is the fourth greatest fear, and so on. Death is down there at number seven. So people fear speaking before a group more than they fear death. Isn't that interesting? But fear has taken over our society, and such fears are often the result of misinformation. Someone said that fear is false education appearing real. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us, though, to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we are to let our requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful consolation to know that we do not have to succumb to these groundless fears? Second component of the wrong kind of fear is that fear makes problems seem greater than they really are. I recently read about a businessman who drew up what he called a worry chart, in which he kept a record of his fears. He discovered that 40% of those things that he feared were about things that in all probability would never happen. 30% concerned things that he had done in the past, which he could now undo. 12% dealt with other people's criticism of him. 10% were worries about his health. And he concluded from this that there were valid reasons for only 80% of his worries. How many of us succumb and worry about and are anxious about things that aren't even that important in the grand scheme of things? But 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all our anxieties, all our cares on him, because he cares for us. So we do not have to focus on these fears that make problems seem greater than they really are. The wrong kind of fear is fear that prevents us from enjoying the blessings that we have. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:34 not to worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough trouble of its own. But many times we are so focused on worrying about tomorrow, worrying about what will happen, worrying about what we don't have, that we don't even take the time to enjoy and give God the praise and the glory for the blessings that we have. It's like the man in the insane asylum whose chief trouble was his fear that he wouldn't get his next meal. So as soon as one meal was finished, he immediately began to worry about the next one. And so most of his time was and his strength were spent worrying about his next meal, which is ridiculous. But it just doesn't make sense for us to worry about the future. Jesus again told us, don't worry about tomorrow. We need to understand that each day has trouble enough of its own. And have you ever noticed that it's the things that never happen that seem to worry us the most? Fear, this fear is not of God, and the antidote to this fear is faith. Number four, the wrong type of fear is fear that hinders our ability to be of service to God. Sometimes we fear people, we fear failure, and these fears often hinder Christians in their service. For example, personal evangelism, the fear of approaching someone and witnessing. There's sometimes in the body of Christ we see those people who are fearful of taking on roles and responsibilities in the ministry, or even fear of doing what we know that God has led us or God has directed us to do. A lesson on how to keep such fears from affecting us can be learned from modern ocean liners. These huge ocean liners and ships are designed so that in the event the hull is pierced, the captain can press a button and lower some steel doors that separate one watertight compartment from another, so that if the ship is hit, it can be sealed off and stay afloat. Shouldn't our lives, the ship of our lives, be that way? We have to learn how to make doors come down. We have to pray until something happens. We have to fast. We have to lay before the Lord, give him our cares, and shut out our worries about yesterday with its mistakes and failures, our worries about what's going to happen tomorrow, and lean on God so that by our faith we know that God will lower another door that shuts out our needless fears of the future so that we can live for this day alone. Otherwise, if we don't rely on God through our faith, our worries may cause us, like a ship that's pierced without protection, to go under, to be consumed, and to sink. Number five, the fear that motivates us to disobey God. Certain fears prompt us to do things which are displeasing to God. For example, someone did a poll of teenagers, and I'll use them as an example. And among other things, 44% of teenagers were afraid of failing in school. 33% were afraid of being lonely. 30% were afraid of not having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And 28% feared rejection. Such fears often lead young people to cheat, to get in with the wrong crowd, to get into drugs, to give into improper sexual advances, and so forth. And adults have these fears, and sometimes it may prompt adults to lie, to cheat on the job, to commit adultery, to do all kinds of things that are disobedient to God and that are not right. Even fear of rejection and persecution has led some Christians to even denounce their faith in God. But unless we can overcome the wrong kind of fear, the spirit of fear, the devil will have many weapons in his arsenal to use against us. And believe me, he will use them. If we in the body of Christ, if we, the UFCCM laity, are going to be victorious over the spirit of fear and overcome the world, we will have to understand that our faith in Jesus Christ is the antidote that will help us to overcome fear. There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. So, we're back. We hope you enjoyed the break. I just want to let you know that no additional individuals will be able to call in right now. However, you can still listen on the internet, and we do have some people that are on the line, and in a moment we're going to give you an opportunity to call in or to ask your question or major comment. But I would just like to close by saying this. When we are afraid, God wants us to trust him and not give way to fear. And learning to do this is our walk from fear to faith. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In our next broadcast in September, we're going to examine part two of this lesson, because as we walk from fear to faith, we will see some consistent truths that we can apply to our lives today in our faith walk. We're going to talk about moving from fear to faith. Amen. We thank you for listening in today, and I'd like to now open up the line for callers.
Caller at 920, area code, your last four numbers is 8749. Please give your name and if you have a question or comment. Caller, you're at 920. The last four digits of your phone number is 8749. If you have a question or comment, go ahead. Okay, we'll move on to the next one. Caller, your area code is 301. If you have a question or comment, just go ahead and say your name and make your comment or ask your question. You're on with Teacher Kendall.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Caller, if you're on the line, anyone that has a question or comment, you may go ahead. Well, Teacher Tendon, looked like they all got cold feet at the last minute. They didn't want to ask their question or comment. We're looking at them right here online. They're still listening. And perhaps I didn't take them into the screening room. So maybe you can go ahead and kind of finish up, and I'll take them privately in the screening room and see if they can get their name, and I'll be right back.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Bishop Avery. Well, as I said, in our next broadcast, we're going to examine some consistent truths that we can apply to our lives today in our faith walk. Because as Christians, we really need to understand we don't have to fear or worry about anything, because we know what Romans 8:28 tells us, which is one of my favorite verses, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and that are called according to his purpose. And this is one of the greatest of all liberations for a Christian, to know that all things work together for our good, and we really don't have to be fearful. Yes, we may have the emotion of fear, which is temporary and momentary, but we don't walk in constant fear and anxiety, which consumes us and overbears us, which that is the spirit of fear. But we know that when we trust God, we have faith and not fear. I look forward to our next broadcast, where we will examine these consistent truths, and that we will focus in and embed in our minds that scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but remember, he has given each of us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind, all of which is accompanied by the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit in our lives. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. We enjoyed having the opportunity to share with you today. Be blessed until our next broadcast. Definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. The laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four USCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.
Thank you for being a part of the Church and Ministry Laity Training Resources with Teacher Margaret Kendall. Join her every second Saturday morning 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 noon Eastern Time, for the Laity Resource Training Outreach Show.